Hey guys, it is still round one. Well, officially the end of round one. So we're going to talk about the other six games that weren't round zero. And I have Richard, Mr. Lambretta, as my special guest for this evening. How are you doing, Richard?
I'm very well, thank you, David. How about yourself?
Not too bad. We had a judge drop out, so I had to try and fix that, which wasn't fun. And then another guy who was a judge last year go, "Hey, I'll jump up and do them." But I'd already really fixed it, so yeah, everything went great. And then I put a thing out saying top 10 with 15 players in it. So I'm really doing a very good job at this point.
It's a lot of effort. I do a competition that's now involving 15 different people and takes a bit.
Exactly. I'm in
So
that, and I'm very upset at the Titans. I'll tell you that.
yeah. Yes, it was a wild and crazy pick, and one I contemplated for 0.3 of a second before making an all equally awful decision and choosing the Broncos.
Yeah, well, I don't think anyone did well in their footy tipping this week, and that as some people have said to me, every time round one everyone's surprised, but eventually we kind of by about round two, three or four we kind of get ourselves right and we know what we're doing. But there's always those clubs that just decide to turn up for the first game of the year. So.
Well, every year I do my tips and put them in and I get them wrong on round one. And every year I say to myself, why don't I just pick my tips, then reverse them, and then I'll be off to a flyer?
Yeah,
And every
exactly.
year I get to do it.
Well, I got it six if I would reverse mine, but
Yeah, same. I should just reverse them, pick what I think is going to happen, and then reverse it for round one. And
I
then you
was
find.
when not this is going off topic from what we're supposed to talk about, but when those first two games came up, the Vegas games, I was so sure I was going to go Manly and the Roosters, and I went no, just pick the favourites, and that didn't work out so well, but I got the Storm, which was a good one. I thought that was a really good one to get, but I only got Storm and Eels, so you can tell how badly I went because I went for a few upsets that
I can
didn't come
tell.
off. So anyway, yeah, so we should probably talk about. Well, obviously, we've already done those two games. I just said the Manly South and the Broncos Roosters. So we'll start from the first game in this last weekend we just had. Well, it was Thursday. And it was the Knights against the Raiders. This one got judged by Mr. Big T himself, the podcast mogul. And he came up with Tyson Frizzell for three, Dane Gagai for two, Jacob Saifidi for one. And he just wrote Saifidi, so I'm assuming he said Jacob, because he played more minutes and that he was the better player. And then he finished 3-2-1 on the Raiders. He had Fogarty, Tapanee, and Rapana. I'm pretty happy with all those. I watched that game. I don't think anyone from Newcastle really deserved any points at all, but I think Frizzell and Gagai were probably their best two. So, yeah.
I can't disagree with you. I think, yeah, I mean, probably had some moments. Hastings took on the line late, but he didn't do enough during the game. Zell tried, yeah, so that guy
It was just a
marginally regularly. So
terrible.
you've got a couple of really good moments,
Yeah.
but not enough.
It's just a really bad game from Newcastle. I just wasn't expecting it from them. I sort of, that's the kind of Newcastle I thought they were in the middle of last year when they were terrible, but they finished the year quite well. So,
It was 2 minutes and they just dropped off at the end, and they just, the more they tried, they just kept trying. They ran out of ideas, but they were trying hard, but they just sort of lacked that polish and execution in the last third, in the final 20 minutes.
So if you have to say a turning point, I'm not really sure. I would say the moment that Jamal Fogarty warmed his boot up is probably the turning point of that game. But that was quite early on. So yeah, I don't really know what the turning point was. They were outclassed pretty much for the whole 80.
It definitely happened in that last 20 minutes. And I don't want to say it, but I know Danny Levi had a reasonable game, but when he went off injured, the Raiders just seemed to sort out their combinations slightly better. And they were just, yeah. Fogarty had a great game with the boot, and he just got them on the front foot in that last quarter, and I think that was really the difference.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so we'll jump across to the next one. This is a game I didn't actually watch. This is the Warriors against the Sharks. The 3-2-1 for the Warriors was Adam Fanua Blake, Wade Egan, and Luke Metcalf. For the Sharks, it was Nico Hines, Jesse Ramien, and Ronaldo Mulitalo. Did you watch this one?
I watched the first half closely, and then the second half was just a bunch of other stuff going on, and I was sort of had one eye on it. And first 20 minutes, I thought, "Oh my God, here we go! This is going to be an absolute explosion of points, and the Warriors are absolute shoo-ins." And then they just sort of didn't. I don't know what they stopped, whether they stopped doing what they were doing right, or they just once the Sharks got themselves started to believe it wasn't one-way traffic. The Sharks got themselves into it, and then the Warriors they just went away from what they were doing well early, and then they just seemed to go off the boil a little bit and lose a little bit of, I don't know whether it was their bench rotation wasn't quite in sync with what the rest of them were doing or what the issue was. But I know that when Cronulla's middles, big bench middles came on, they got into more of a role, and that huge guy they've got that plays for them in the Sharks, and I'm gonna get his name in a minute, but Hazleton, when he
Oh yeah,
came
Tom
off the bench,
Hazleton. Yep.
him and Rudolph really got them going in the right direction. Hazleton has a habit of overrunning the play on a couple of occasions, so he sort of stuffed up Nico, and he had to sort of chat on Trindle and had to change direction and go the other way, and they lost cohesion a bit, and I was thinking, oh my God, and he's not on. And then all of a sudden he was. And he was just making the right runs and getting into, instead of, getting in the road, he was just getting the ball and carrying it up and doing a good job. So, but I missed the end of the game.
Yeah, the funny thing is, so I'm putting in part of what I do for the for these hyper rims is I put in tackle breaks, line breaks, meter like all meters run, all these kind of stats, like all the main stats, just kind of judge the quality of games. And the surprising thing is, when I went to go put this in after this game, and I started typing the numbers in, I was surprised. I kept having to check the score because I'm like, how did the Warriors lose? They had such a dominant in every stat you could think of. Had more line breaks, had more possession, they had more meters, they had, everything. And I thought, oh, maybe their defense wasn't great, but their tackle efficiency was great. Like I couldn't figure out how the hell they lost the game. The stats looked
They
like
made a
they should
lot
have won
of
by
errors.
50.
They made a lot of errors. So they turned over the ball, and they just, I think the side that's got Tuivasa-Sheck on it, just they did not work well down that side. There was a lot of, it broke down a bit, and they just couldn't get themselves together.
Yep, fair enough.
So, yeah.
All right. So I don't think we're gonna have a turning point, so let's just leave that one. The next one is was the one that I predicted properly in my footage to be one of the two. So it's the Storm against the Panthers, 8-0. So I don't know if that's the. I can't remember the last time the Panthers didn't score a point in the game. It must be a long time ago. It must be like years, before the dominance. So the 3-2-1 of the Storm was Xavier Coates, Jonah Pezet, and Kamakamika. For the Panthers, it was Taylor May, Liam Martin, and Nathan Cleary. So I know Coates did like a sick little play to as a try assist. And that was the only try of the game, so that probably justifies him getting some points. Jonah Pezet called up in the last minute, to replace Cam Munster. So, yeah, I don't know. I didn't catch all of this game. So, what was your thoughts?
Pezzett looked lost early on. He didn't really grew into the game as it went on. So he's no world beating, halfback. He's not the 5'8". He's not the kind of guy like Cam Munster who's gonna, grab the game with the scruff of the neck and do whatever. But he just sort of warmed his way into there. He made a few errors early, and then he sort of got on. Hughes had a brilliant game. Hughes was everything you needed him to be. Pappenhausen was sort of feeling his way back in, had a couple of errors. And yeah, so the Storm were just I don't think either side shone in attack. I think the Panthers probably had the more had the better chances. And on most other days, they were, probably would have won it by, you know, 20-8. But they just, either it was a combination of just determined storm defence, last gasp ditch efforts, and just things just being quite a little bit off with the Panthers' attack. They just weren't quite there. And there are a couple of really unlucky things that happened, and try disallowed, and or disallowed tries, plural. And they just, yeah, they just didn't seem to be quite there, the Panthers. And is it Taylor May, who was probably their best player? Yeah, it was a bit of a strange game. It was, everyone was saying it was tough and engrossing and all that. I actually thought it was terrible. It was really low quality.
Well, that was our discussion in the little private DM for the judges, because the Kev who did it was like, he was sort of saying like it was an okay game, and a couple of them were saying, you know, like really good second half and things like that. But yeah, that was your discussion. You were just saying it was just an irreparable mess, and you having a bit of a discussion about that, it was quite funny. He was saying it was one of the best games of the round. Yeah.
Second half was better, definitely. Yeah. First half was so hard to watch. But I find as a judge, when you judge these games, because you're watching the individuals as opposed to the product as a whole, time match seems to pass by quite quickly because you're focusing on what each individual is doing really well and or really badly. And that takes your focus off, oh, that's another error. It gives you a different way of looking at the game.
Mm.
So as I find, even when I reviewed games, I suddenly thought that was a good game, and yet everyone else goes, no, that was appalling. So I understand where Kevin was coming from.
Oh yeah, of course. Not going to throw him under the bus. That's fine. But
how do you get it?
But he put his turning point in there, and he was saying that the Coats second half tackling. So obviously, I mean, they didn't score a point, so obviously there was some good defense there against Penrith. But yeah, maybe not. Maybe they just didn't bring their A game in round one too. So let's hope they continue to not bring their A game. But yeah, I don't think it was a great game. I really don't. Okay, let's move on.
Who
to
are they playing in round two that you would think you'd want them not to be quite as good?
They play a blue and gold side in round two.
Oh, okay, yeah, maybe.
No, they'll probably win by 20, so that's fine. Speaking of that certain blue and gold side, I went to this game, so I definitely saw it. It'd be fun to pick a turning point for this one. So it's the Eels against the Bulldogs. So we had 3 points for Bryce Cartwright, 2 for Clint Gutherson, 1 for Dylan Brown. And for the Bulldogs, it was 3 for Reid Marnie, 2 for Jacob Krause, and 1 for Blake Tough. I kind of objected to them giving Reid Marnie 3 points. That was Jay did that one. I don't dispute that he might have been their best player, but he was the whole reason that they were being dominated in the middle as well. So
yeah, it's sometimes you notice what people are doing, what they do well, and sometimes you just don't notice some of the things that don't do well in defence. So
yeah,
when you're judging, it's a hard one, but yeah,
it's a bit different too because I was at the game, so I could see them almost pointing him out the line and going run at him sort of thing, because that's every time Parramatta's played Canterbury since Reid Marnie has been the like has moved across there. That's what they do every time. They run at him the whole game, so he made 50 something tackles, but when he made those tackles, he gave up, you know, in you know, like after contact, post-contact meters, he gave up at least 5 to 10 every time. So it didn't matter if he made the tackle. We were running through the middle. So
I know how much you love the Bulldogs. What do you genuinely make of what they've done? Their recruitment, their lineup, what they're trying to. How do you think they're? What do you think they're trying to achieve?
I don't understand. I feel like it. Like everyone keeps saying it, too many utilities, but it's not even just utilities. It's too many just solid guys. Like it's like they've gone, all right, we've got Adokar and we've got Crichton and we've got, you know, Kickout, right? So they're our big, that's our big kind of attack on that side. we're going to go that way. We're going to score points, right? But it doesn't, the rest of the team doesn't do anything. Like it, I like Max King. He's a good, solid worker, but he is not a top line prop. They don't have a top line prop. The young kid who played, who started, what was his name? I can't remember his name now. Anyway, he was like his debut or something, or he hadn't played too many games. He only played 20 minutes. He was good for the first 20 minutes, but then he went off and didn't come back on. So I don't know what happened there.
Not through myself.
Yeah, so they're good. I mean, they've got some good players. I mean, I think Jacob Preston's quite good too. Feels like they're trying for too much. They're trying for too much. How do I put it? They're going for all the cut price players that they're gonna try and squeeze as much out of them, but they don't have any stars. That's what it kind of feels like a bit.
There's room in the team for like Hutchinson and Mann and and Salmon, and you're trying to squeeze
a lot of utility. I mean, you look at that, right? You could put probably eight of their players in the halves.
Yeah. I thought they got a bit of direction and go forward when Kurt Mann came on.
Yeah, I actually thought they were better when Kurt Mann came on. I don't think that Matt Burton's really good as a 5'8 either. He doesn't really do anything. He doesn't really direct play. He's just there to kick the ball. So, because I went to the game with my dad, and my dad just turns to me in the middle of the second half and he goes, geez, that Matt Burton's a bit of a waste. He goes, all he does is kick the ball. And I was like, yeah, he's exactly right. That's all he does. He's there for the big kick. And you're like, you've got to get more out of your 5'8 than just that.
Yeah, I don't know what the answer is there, whether they move Crichton back to fullback, Burton into the centres, and then
and Tark find into the halves. Yeah, or you play with Mann and Hutchison maybe in the halves or something. I don't know. They haven't really changed it this week. I've seen the list, so it's pretty much the same team. I just think they're devoid of ideas. What they probably need is a big front rower, like a dominant sort of guy in the middle. Because they need someone, not they're going to get someone like this, but they need someone like a Tina or a Tarpany or someone like that who's going to get them over the advantage line, get them quick play the balls, and they can play off the back of it. Because they haven't got anything like that. None of their forwards are that kind of forward. So I think they lost the middle very quickly against Parramatta. So
that's easy to do because Parramatta have got one of the best middles in the country.
It is true, but it'd be pretty hard. I mean, if they play, I could name another five teams they'll play where they won't be able to win the middle because they just don't have the power. They don't have anything there. So, I just don't know what the answer is. It looked like Parramatta were in second gear the whole game, and like I was enjoying it. I thought it was fantastic. But like for my own thoughts, I just kind of went, well, if I was a Canterbury fan, I'd be very worried that there's no way forward. Like it's all good to buy a guy and put him as your captain and everything. And, you know, he didn't have a terrible game, but he didn't really do much because he can't really do anything. There's no forward. There's no going forward on anything. So you can't, it's all good to buy flashy wingers and centers and stuff, but you've got no go forward. So what are you going to do? So, I think the Parramatta ones are pretty right. Bryce Cartwright, definitely best player on ground.
A game for the ages. He was brilliant.
Gutherson was great. So Gutherson was great. I mean, you could have named, instead of Dylan Brown, you could have named a couple others there. But, yeah, I think all of them were good. I think Junior Bolo, when he came on, was really good. So, yeah, I don't know. It's pretty hard to stand out because they all just had reasonably good games. But, yeah, I think that's the most – I don't have a turning point because basically the game was – I mean, I think maybe the turning point was the try that got them up to 14-0 instead of being 8-0. I think that was probably a big moment. But apart from that, I think it was pretty straightforward.
Yeah, it was. Also, Alakar going off and messing up their back line and a few other things that sort of happened.
Yeah, that did make it a lot harder.
Just getting Cartwright involved in the game. Once he did, it was all over.
It got very scary for me as a Parramatta fan when Cartwright and Madison were both on there at the same time and they both decided that they wanted to offload in every tackle, because I was really waiting for them just to throw it to the Bulldogs and let them run like 70 meters to score because I was waiting because you could just feel it was going to happen. It didn't, but I was like, Jesus, it's going to happen. Because they just, it was like we couldn't, we didn't want to get tackled. I was like, let's just throw the ball around. But yeah, anyway, let's move on. We'll go to the Titans against the Dragons. So we've got Sam Verrill's got the 3, Cleese Haas the 2, and Tino the 1. It feels like the Tino 1 was just give someone points. And surprising, I thought it was quite surprising, but 3 to Ben Hunt, 2 to Fatela Mariner, and 1 to Little. Someone else, I actually accidentally thought that we didn't have this game, and someone else scored it for him and gave 3 completely different plays for the Dragons. So I don't know. I was in the car park at Parramatta. I didn't get to see this game, but from what I could hear, it did sound like the Titans were doing too well.
No, the Titans were just, they were just completely outgunned. Sloane just got his hands on the ball, and from the very onset, the Dragons looked very, very switched on. And the Titans just, yeah, I don't know. They just, their halves don't appeal. They seem lost. They're devoid of ideas. They got the ball up the field. They had possession. They had field position, and they were in the game for a long time. But they just, even with all their possession, they just couldn't seem to do what they needed to do to make the difference. And, yeah, I don't understand it. They need to get Big Fifita back and need to get back Foran, and they need to sort of get themselves worked out. So,
yeah, they've got a lot of potential, and it's interesting. I don't know. Yeah, I just don't know what to do. They played, I mean, I can only really see the games I've seen, but I saw the Titans playing that last trial and they just don't look like they've quite got it. But we'll see. It's only week one. The Dragons.
Warren's back week 3, Hamilton's back week 4, and Fafita's back week 5 for them. So,
yeah, I mean, so they've got a few weeks of trying to sort themselves out.
Work out what their best combinations are and who goes at fullback and who's at halfback and or who's at 5'8" and whether Brinton goes back into the halves or what they do.
And I honestly should have realised that the Dragons would play well in their first game with a new coach. But, yeah, I just didn't really trust it. But, I mean, it's not a bad Dragon side. They're actually not that bad. But, yeah,
they're a team that if they do, they've not done the effort things well for the last couple of years, and they've not done the small things right. The pushing up in support, the running the lines, the off the ball stuff that they should do. And it seemed to me, well, the bits I saw, that Flanagan seems to have them at least making an effort. And if they do that, they'll win half their games, you know? Yeah. And that puts them in shot of the 8, but it's whether they can keep the momentum going and keep the focus going.
Yeah, okay. All right, let's go to the last one on the weekend then. So we had the Dolphins up against the Cowboys. I was really expecting a lot more from the Dolphins than what they produced, but, you know, the Cowboys, are the Cowboys back maybe? Who knows? But 3-2-1s. This was the one that I didn't have any points for, and Todd was very nice to step in and give us these points. So we've gone – sorry, I just lost the screen for a second there. We've gone with Tom Flegler got the 3, Josh Kerr the 2, and Jeremy Marshall King the 1 for the Dolphins. And for the Cowboys, it was Valentine Holmes, Tom Dearden, and Zach Laybutt. So, this sounds about right to me. Do you have any thoughts on that one?
No, I would not disagree with those picks at all. And the Dolphins just seem to be out of ideas early, and the Cowboys just rolled through them. And it just once they had it was looked like one way traffic, and then they sort of got back into it just before half time. You thought, okay, 30 minutes, they're back into it, and then right before half time again, the Cowboys jumped on them, and that was it.
Yeah, it's Sorry, I'm just gonna. The reason why I did that is I'm gonna share the other screen so that we can bring up the team list and we can have a look at that in a sec. Yeah, the I think you're right. I think it's the. Hold on, let me just move this. Sorry, apologies to everyone. I'm trying to move something out of the way. There we go. All right. Yeah. It just. I think I thought when I first looked at it, I think I'm like, well, you know, Wayne Bennett. Second year in charge, they're going to be better than last year. They won in round one last year. They should. Yeah, the Cowboys are a bit disappointing, and I was expecting something really good from the Dolphins, but the Cowboys were just too good.
And I mean, Taibo Fiko, he had a shocker, and I don't know how he got a data point. I really don't.
We didn't get a hyper end point, so that's fine.
Tessie New looked kind of lost out there. Nikorima, I just don't know what he's doing in the halves. And they've got a few changes that they will hopefully be able to make. But yeah, they missed Tom Gilbert. It was a shattering blow for them, and their forward pack looks a bit slow. I thought Flegler was good early. But if you've got Bromwich and Nichols coming off the bench, what are you injecting in there really? There's not, you just, yeah.
I do worry
Sorry.
about them. I do worry about them forward wise too, but yeah, we shall see, I suppose. Okay, so we've done that. Maybe we'll just have a quick go through round two. I did notice, and I don't know if he's listening or not, but someone else is in the background of this call. Are you
Yeah, I'll
there,
jump in.
Jay?
I am.
Oh, there you are. Hello. We already went
We
through the game you judged, and we rubbished exactly what you said, but that's okay. So.
didn't.
So what I've done, I've shared the screen from the NRL.com, the round two teams. Maybe we'll just go through it really quickly. I don't want to go through every single player and talk about, but just some changes and things that have happened. So first game is the Broncos against the Bunnies. Both teams have to bounce back from Vegas. So yeah, I mean, I don't think there's anything too groundbreaking in either team. I think that's pretty much. I mean, great to see Brendan Piacoro actually not out because he had to leave that game very early. Talis Duncan's in for the Bunnies.
No arrows, a loss for
No
them, I think.
arrow, so I had to do that. Interesting to see they gave. I think they've had a lot of. They've got a lot of raps on Talis Duncan, so let's see if he can perform in the first grade. He's had a bit of a go already, but let's see what happens with that. Yeah, Shaq Mitchell's in. I think Broncos might actually be same 1-17 or very similar. Yeah, we shall see what happens. Anyone got any comments on that game? What they're expecting?
I'm just surprised Kenna held his spot. I thought they might have someone better to throw out there, and I think
Well,
he'll be a target.
they got Michael Cheekham on the bench. That's Tane
He's
Milne.
back, right?
Maybe
Isn't
Tane
it? Tane Milne.
Milne might
Yeah.
come in. Yeah, I don't know. The Bunnies, I'm just not sure about. Like I think I said at the start of the season, they could go one of two ways. And I mean, any team can go one of two ways, but they to me feel like the team that could, you know, jump up and be top four or could be, you know, just meandering through the season and it's over with weeks to go sort of thing. So I don't think they'll finish in the bottom, but I also don't think that, I don't think they're going to finish eighth. So I think they're ever going to finish
I
like fourth
boldly
or
tipped
fifth or they're
them to
going to
miss
finish
my
12th.
eight.
Yeah.
I boldly tipped them to miss the eight, so.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see. Okay, so next game up is the Sharks against the Bulldogs. I don't know if you heard that chat, Jay, about the Bulldogs, but we said, what can the Bulldogs do? And basically, the
Yeah,
Bulldogs did nothing.
they've just got no attack. They've got some good players, but they can't use them. Their halves don't set anything up. Their forwards don't give them a platform. They're not big enough. They're not good enough. I think they're in for a big long struggle. I struggle to find three players to give them points to be honest,
Yeah,
against
I
Parramatta.
totally with you. The interesting thing is, so I obviously went to the game last week, so I saw the reserve grade of the New South Wales Cup or knock on effect cup or whatever they want to call it. It was one of the weirdest games of that I've ever seen. It was like 38-36, and it felt like at some points in the game they were both going to score over 50 points each. It really was a strange game. It was Canterbury up 10-0. Parramatta scored 26 points, and then Canterbury scored another 10, and it was 26-20 at half time. Like, so, you know, 46 points in the first half. And there was just this little period just after half time where it was kind of, it was very sort of tight, and they did, nothing really happened. And I thought, oh, they've just slowed down a bit. And then all of a sudden it went bang, bang a few more times. And yeah, it was at the end, I was very surprised. I was very surprised that Parramatta were in the game still. And then at some points I was surprised that Canterbury were in the game still, because it looked like both teams just didn't want to tackle. So, but the main thing about that is when I'm watching that reserve grade team from Canterbury, I didn't see anyone that sort of put their hand up and said, hey, you know, pick me.
Pick me.
There wasn't really much else there. I mean, Bronson Sherry was okay. He had an okay game, but, you know, I don't think he's going to get picked above Carras or Crichton. No.
And again, he's a running centre, so he's not. They need someone to create things.
They don't really have any creativity. And I was talking, like, as we were talking a bit earlier, Richard, it was like, you know, what do they do? Do they move? They move Crichton to fullback. They move Taff into the halves. Do they move Burton into the centres? It's like shuffling deck chairs. It's not really going to do very much. They just...
Well, they've got a couple of options. They can move Curran off the bench into the 13 role.
Yeah.
And then put Jamie Salmon out of the equation at the moment, so don't know what they're doing with him. They don't need that many utilities.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sexton, I think, is probably the better option at seven, and an aging Drew Hutchinson.
So
things they can do straight away. And then it's, well, how do they fit Bronson Sherry into that lineup? Is he going to be on the wing? I mean, where are they going to play him? Is he in centres these days? Is he a back rower? What's his...
They've lost that Okar. They've put Okar out because I think he's injured. They put Connor Tracy in on the wing. I mean, they've got too many centres. That's the other problem. Because Connor Tracy basically plays centre. He's just playing on the wing because he has to. It just doesn't feel like there's much going on there. Feels like they're a team of fullbacks and halfbacks, and that's all they've got. And the ones who are halfbacks aren't even playing halfback, and the ones who aren't are playing in the halves. So yeah, I'm not sure. Cronulla looked fine. They looked pretty imposing when they played last weekend. So I don't think the Bulldogs have got much chance against them. But obviously my tipping's really great, so I'm not gonna put my colours in there. But I'm expecting Canterbury to really struggle again this week. So,
I'd agree.
All right. Next one is the Panthers and the Eels.
This should be a really good game.
Well, let's hope so. I don't know if it will be. Scott Sorensen comes back, which is good. So Luke Garner goes to the bench, and then Mitch Kenny's back as well. So they drop Summerton. So, they weren't that great. But you know, they round one, they lost the World Cup Challenge as well, a bit of a hangover from that. Don't know if that's gonna be a problem. But look, I know they only played Canterbury, but I like the look of what Parramatta did. I still think they were pretty good. They were very controlled. It's gonna be very interesting because I don't know whether, because I know you said, Richard, like they're a really good forward pack, but this Panthers forward pack is pretty hard to control. So
probably the number one.
I really worry about Morgan Harper. He's going to get targeted. Canterbury really couldn't target him, but I feel like he's going to get targeted. So
he'd be my worry if I was the Eels, because and the other thing for the Eels is how fit is Moses, because he was a passenger for 60 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know. He wasn't kicking, and then he started kicking again, and then he stopped kicking because it hurt himself. So yeah, I really don't know.
Russell, the guy that got injured by Campbell that time.
Yeah, so he's the guy who Campbell basically kneed him in the back and then didn't even get suspended for. So yeah,
he looked really good last week at times.
Yeah, See, the thing for Parramatta is that coming through, like basically in the lower grade at the moment, they're playing Zach Sini as one centre. And the other centre is a guy who they actually told they didn't want it in the club anymore, and he went to the West Tigers and wasn't good enough and came back. So there's obviously not a lot of centre depth. On the wings, they've got Dunster, who's still sort of recovering from the ACL, still probably not 100%, and the other one's Isaac Lumi-Lumi. So I'm not surprised that Morgan Harper is playing, because there's really not a lot else. There's a lot of young kids that are coming through, but they haven't really played, haven't even played reserve grade yet. So, or they've only just started playing reserve grade. So, I think that's where the weakness is. I think that's where the Panthers are a better side in the back five. But you never know. Just never know with
No,
Parramatta
you're
when they'll
also
play
often
Penrith.
up
So
for Penrith, so
yeah,
I
we'll
can
see what
see why
happens.
they've moved Barlow back into the starting lineup off the bench last week, and I liked him coming off the bench. And I don't know, I thought they may have kept with that one, but it looks
They
like they've
might do
swapped
it
him.
again. This is the way that Brad Arthur does things, is he
Swaps him
names it
over.
the same and then he changes it every time and does the same thing.
Okay.
But we'll see
Fingers
what
crossed.
happens. But yeah, in terms of forwards, Parramatta have very good forwards. So, if they
And
can win
good
the
depth when you've got Greg on the bench and Ogden, they're good players as well.
And if they can win the forward battle, then they might have a chance. But yeah, I'm just not sure about that. Okay, so the Raiders against the West Tigers. Interesting. Well, I suppose the interesting thing is two number sixes who are both very young. So we've got Ethan Strange, who's played one game now, and Lachlan Golvin, who's playing his first game. And then you got the Jaden Sullivan with Golvin, not a lot of experience. And then you've got Jamal Fogarty with Ethan Strange, a heap of experience. So I think that's going to make a massive difference. What are we expecting from the Tigers? Anyone
It's a good
know?
question.
Yeah, don't know what it's going to be.
Well, I'm not expecting a lot.
Historically, teams coming off the bye struggle, and it's a terrible thing to be a 17-team comp to have the first round one as your bye week. Because whilst you can sit and watch the tape on the other teams and get a bit of a heads up, you're just not game ready and you're still rusty. And I fear for the Tigers this week. I really do. And the Raiders were on. And yeah, I just hope they put in a good performance. I really do. They've got
Because they'll
to
get slammed if they don't, and they get ridden pretty hard. But I've got to be honest, I don't see a lot there that would worry me if I was playing them.
But the other thing is that Canberra is such an inconsistent side that they could win this
Correct.
game by a lot or lose it by a bunch too. So you just never
Exactly.
know.
Interesting they're playing Caesar off the bench, or is that, do you think that's just ducks and drakes?
Well, I don't know because they've gone Jaden Sullivan, Lachlan Galvin, and they've done Caesar on the bench. So I don't know what they're doing there.
Because the talk earlier today was that Caesar was injured, but then they've named him, so.
Yeah, I
Okay.
don't know. I find
And
that
they're playing on
strange.
the bench as well.
And then so Sebastian Chris is back for the Raiders too, which means Hopewadi goes out to the wing, which is it just makes them stronger, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I think so too.
Look, it's I don't know. I just don't think the Raiders are going to really struggle at all. But I like the Tigers. I want them to win. So, we'll see what happens.
Did you pay any attention to Morgan Smithies last week?
He was good. Yeah, I thought he was pretty good.
I thought he was quite handy, and that's a decent pickup there for the Raiders.
It was interesting to see the three English, the two English guys, and then, we'll get to it when we get to the Knights. But yeah, it was interesting to see both of them had a pretty good game. So yeah, we'll see what happens.
Only Levi's been named, even though he's got a quad strain, which is interesting.
Well, maybe Zach Wolford will play if they can figure out if I kicked Ricky's dog or not, then we'll get there. Okay, so we'll go on to the Cowboys and the Knights. I mean, the Cowboys were impressive. I'm not thinking that there's going to be any major issue with dispatching the Knights, but then you never know which Knights team turns up. So I did notice what I was going to say with the Knights that Kai Pierce-Paul gets a start, which is pretty good. He looked good when he came on. I actually was pretty impressed with him. And Tom Jenkins didn't play last week, did he? It was Tuala playing, but he got injured during the game. So good chance for him to try and cement a first grade spot. Everything looks pretty much the same. I think the Cowboys are 1-17 from last week. I think that's exactly the 17 that was in.
I think so. Yeah.
And not much change for the Knights. So just those couple of changes for forced injuries. So, I don't know. What do you think? Do we think the Cowboys were that good or were the Dolphins bad? And do we think that the Raiders were good or that the Knights were bad? I can't really tell.
It is early round football is hard to gauge, but I think it was probably a combination of both. And the Dolphins just looked short of a few players. And then once the Cowboys got their tails up, they seem to be a confidence team, the Cowboys. If you can hold them close or grind into them a bit, sometimes you can put them off their game. Yeah. And if they get on top and they get a roll on, they can just start enjoying themselves too much, and that's probably what happened to them against the Dolphins. They just they got away with it. But the Knights, they were in it for longer, so I wouldn't put it past them to play a grinding, spoiling game and knock the Cowboys off their game a little bit. If the Knights can really hang in there and get the dirty stuff done, then they've got a chance of sneaking one here, but you've got to go with the home team for favouritism if you're picking.
Yeah, for sure.
I'd agree.
All right, we'll move on. So we've got the Storm against the Warriors. Obviously, the Storm, big win first up. A bit of a dour affair, but they got the win. And the Warriors, in a similar kind of game, didn't get the win. So I think traditionally, aren't the Warriors really bad in Melbourne? Aren't they like...
Yes.
Yeah.
They had one winning was at 2012, and they've been horrible ever since, including a 70 something point loss. So.
Yeah, the 70 to 10 or whatever it was, or 70 to something. Yes. Yeah, it's not good. I think I said last week that I was tipping the Storm, but I don't know why, because their forward pack looked terrible. Their forward pack looks about the same. And it did the job last week, so maybe it just does it again.
Joey Chan. Fantastic. He just absolutely carted the ball up and just threw himself at people. So I liked what he brought to the game.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, if they bring that defensive effort, then they're going to be hard to beat. But their attack was clunky and didn't show a lot. So the Warriors have got a lot more in attack that worries me than even an early Penrith did. I think Storm were lucky they got Penrith week one. I'd tip Storm, but not with a great deal of confidence, because say you're not scoring points, your defense has got to do the job.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, we'll see with that one. I would be going for Storm in a tip, only because I don't think Warriors can really win down in Melbourne, but.
Yeah.
I mean that Melbourne that's Warriors side is very good. But yeah, we'll see what happens. And we've got Sunday, we've got the Seagulls against the Roosters. So the other two teams that played in Vegas, the two winners. They should call this the Vegas Bowl. well, they're playing at the Vegas of Australia at Brookvale. So we shall see. Look, can Jackson Paulo play any worse than he did in Vegas? That's the question for me. He was the worst. I think he was going to be the worst player on the whole ground when they played. His team won. So yeah, and look, I was very impressed with the trio of Trbojeviches. I thought they were really good last week. So let's see if they can do that again. And we'll see if Nathan Brown can bring anger without bringing ridiculous penalties. So that's probably the Seagulls wrapped up. And then the Roosters. I mean, Tedesco was really good. He was like popping around and doing all kinds of stuff. I was really impressed with both their edges, like the Wong and Tupanil were both really good. And Radley didn't try and take someone's head off. So it could be interesting, Radley against Nathan Brown, if something happens. But yeah, look, I don't know. And the other one is, so Dom Young gets his first start with the Roosters. So We shall see. JWH is back as well, so there's a couple of changes for them. So we'll see what happens with them. I mean, obviously, Roosters fan Richard, what did you think about first week, and how do you think you'll go against Manly?
Amazingly, just so happy with the first week, and most people had them, including myself, kind of thought, well, Roosters usually slow starters, Broncos like to bolt out the gates, and wasn't expecting much. I was hoping for a good performance, but then they just absolutely blew me away with how well they played over there in America. And I'm going to Brookvale on Sunday to watch this, so I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping that Jared coming back and having a point to prove doesn't mean Jared does brain explosion Jared, and he's controlled and strong in the middle. Tyrell May was brilliant over in America. He was one of our best, and Victor Radley seems to have finally worked out that he can't just go careering around the field trying to knock people's heads off and then get a all bolshy and attitude ridden about it when he gets called out for being a dick. He's controlled, he does the right thing when he needs to, and he has just come on in leaps and bounds. And his last 6 months have been some of his best football. So his last 6 months of playing, that is.
Yeah, of
He's
course.
really good. So Radley is good, and yeah, the Kerry Walker thing seems to be working out okay in the middle there. Manu does Manu things when he needs to, and yeah, it'd be interesting to see up against that amazing Cooler and Garrick. Yeah, Manly are going to miss Saab, because he was probably their best outside back last week.
Yeah, I think that's a big miss for them. But like I said, they've got a couple of guys back. We'll see what they do. What's your thoughts, Jay?
Yeah, of the first round, the Roosters were the team that impressed me more than any. Manly, thing that with Manly is they're very fast. They've got pace everywhere. So that's the thing that worries me with Manly. But I think Taulao and Paulo on the wings, that's where, if I'm Roosters, that's where I'm going. I'm going wide and I'm going high. I would be leaning to the Roosters for this one.
Yeah, definitely. I think Dom Young, if he has a good game, is a big in for them. And is it the last game? Yep.
Yes.
Last one is the Dolphins against the Dragons. So, I mean, the Dolphins have got to show more than they did last week. Looks like Jake Averillo gets the go. Tessie New is out.
West back is good. Will help.
Yeah, pretty much. Ewan Aitken's back in. Max Plath's playing at 13. So yeah, a few little changes. They've maybe not rung in the changes. They brought Isaiah Katoa back in at halfback. So yeah, look, I'd be more, I know Wayne Bennett loves Cody Nicarima, but seriously, I'd be leaving O'Sullivan, putting Katoa with him. That was how they were winning games at the start of last year. I don't know
Yeah,
why
I
he's not
agree.
playing that, but he's not playing that for some reason. I just think that Cody Nicarima can be good, but it can also be not good. So he's
Yeah,
very
I
confusing.
play him as a 14.
Yeah, that's what you want to do. Like it on your bench there, you've got what, three front rowers and a back rower. Like it's not.
You got nobody. Yeah, and even their forwards there are not forwards who give you impact.
No, they're not.
They're workers.
Yeah, I don't
So
know.
yeah, I worry for the Dolphins. And St George, they're often March premiers. Flanagan has them fit. They're definitely a bit more cohesive unit than last year by the look. So I'd be leaning to St George for that one.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, what do you reckon, Richard?
I do like Averillo coming in instead of Tessie New. I agree with you guys that it shouldn't be Nicarima, it should be O'Sullivan partnering Katoa in the halves. They need a couple of younger forwards. And Jared Wallace, I've got all the love in the world for Jared Wallace, but yeah, him coming in as the next choice forward doesn't really, it doesn't fit.
Losing Gilbert's massive for them.
Yeah,
Yeah, it's
that's
just
big.
needed a couple of extra forwards that were young that they could sign, and then they probably would be a bit better balanced. But You never know. You never know with the Dolphins that whether that's
no,
just
no,
going back
I
and
don't
down.
give them any chance. But
yeah. The Dragons look young and hungry, or they look hungry and they look a little bit better. We seem to be working out and putting Zach Lomax on the wing.
Yeah,
was
he
intriguing
did well. Yeah, it was
hopefully
good.
It was a rocket up him and he works it out, and Sully and Bird in the centre. So I think Bird's more of a front rower than this, more of a, sorry, a back rower than a centre, but I don't know who else they're putting out there.
Yeah, they haven't got a whole heap more. I don't know what they've got there, but
Tyler
not
Mariner,
much.
He was a good pickup for the Dragons off the
Yeah.
bench.
Yeah,
Really, really.
I don't know what the Bulldogs were doing. For Tyler Mariner is exactly the kind of forward that they need, that they
Yes.
said they didn't have. But
100%.
I don't know what they're doing.
Not
But, you know,
enough
it's a
of a
plan.
utility.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't a utility. Maybe they could have taken another utility off them. All right. What I found interesting, actually, I didn't actually watch that game last week, but the three of the bench players for the Dragons played less than 20 minutes. So it was something weird happening there. I don't know what it was. Maybe just because they were in front and they just didn't worry with the
Well, and they
interchange.
didn't have to work hard. The Titans were woeful.
Yeah.
Titans offered nothing.
Just found it very interesting, that's all. I just, yeah. So, yeah, I think that's pretty much, well, that's it. That's the end of the round. Looking forward to it. We've got our roster worked out for who's doing each of these games. I probably should have said who's doing each of the games, but doesn't matter. But yeah, look, we'll be back next time and we can talk about those eight games that we just said and then the next ones, and we'll continue on this long and fruitful journey to the to September, October.
Thank
I don't
you,
know what I'm
David.
talking about now. I'm just saying random words.
I'm very much looking forward to seeing the Cronulla Sharks and the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs, because that is the game that I will be reviewing. So
it'll be fantastic. I get to my first game this week. I can't remember which one it is, but one of these is mine. I didn't do one the first week.
Well, I've got this week off, so you can't blame me for bad choices this week.
We will. Now we've got one less judge, we'll have a couple of extra games too, Jay, so I'll let you know. But we all had 18
no, right.
games. Now I think we've all got 19 or 20, depending on if I liked you or not. No, just depending on which way it worked. But yeah, all right, we'll get
talk
out of
next
here
week.
And talk next week. Yeah,
fantastic. Thanks, David.
See you guys.
Bye.